Hey!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional and trust the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black, have your say, you mob, yarn up strong. Too deadly. We're going to jump straight in and have a deadly yarn with David Hardy, illustrator for the book Welcome to Our Country, a five-book series designed to connect young children, parents and educators with First Nations history and culture. And this is written by Adam Goods and Ellie Lang. And we have David on the line. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother, for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from, David?
I'm a Barkindji man. So, yeah, I come from northwest New South Wales, Brewarrina. So, yeah.
Beautiful footprint. Too deadly, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So listen, welcome to Our Country, name of the book, a five-book series designed to connect young children, parents and educators with First Nation history and culture. By any means necessary, whatever tools we've got out there to educate the world about our mob and our culture, fantastic. But great to have Adam Goods and Ellie Lang at the table in regard to Welcome to Country.
Yeah, it's a privilege to work on such an important, topic for the, and it's also a celebration of our culture and the way, our mob used to live day to day.
Yes, exactly. Now, so you, what were you looking at the book, the illustrator for the book? So how did this come about with you? Did Adam Goods, Ellie Lang get in touch with you, or how did it all come about, my friend?
Yeah, so they had the idea of coming up with the story in the book, and they were approached by Alan and Unwin, the publishers, and they just contacted me. So I'd done plenty of books before, and I worked full time as a senior illustrator for a gaming company, and so I was with a family myself. Mm. I was going to say to myself, I'm going to have a rest from doing, extra activities more books and stuff like that. But
yes, you got a knock on the door. Got an email. Yeah. Cass, what you doing?
This came up and I read the story. I thought, this is something I have to do,
Yes.
With my mum being, part of the stolen generation and that. So it's a really important topic. And when I heard that Adam and Ellie wrote it, I was like, count me in.
Good, beautiful, fantastic. So the book is out now, is it?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So we can buy from our bookstores or online as well?
Yeah, it's quite popular. So, yeah, any bookshop, or I've even seen it in Big W and Kmart and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Beautiful,
pretty
fantastic.
Well, but you can also get it online as well. So,
So they did a book launch and were you part of it?
We've done a fair bit, fair bit of marketing. And we did a, thing at the Opera House, an interview there, and, it's good. It's been a privilege.
So with that now, are you going to take your break and have your rest now, or you fired up?
No, I'm still working on the series, mate.
Five series,
through.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm halfway through the third book.
Okay.
So
we say five series, but it's still under one banner, which is the title, Welcome to Our Country, yes?
Yeah, that's correct, yep.
All right, fantastic. Good, brother. So where do you operate from? From a studio or from home or Adam's place or where? Work from home?
No, I've got my little setup at home here.
Good.
I've been working remotely all the last year from the office as well. Going into the office 2 days a week and working home from Yeah, so I'm doing the book and that just in my spare time. So
in your spare time.
Hours and on the weekends, yeah.
In your spare time, yeah, just write a book. So tell us, quickly share with us again some of the work that you did beforehand, David.
So I was a traditional hand-drawn animator for Walt Disney.
Yes.
So I've worked on about 12 feature films.
Well, I can see why Adam and Ali contacted you. I'm just hanging out with Mickey and Donald here first. I'll be over in a second and you have a yarn. Disneyland, shut up. Too early, brother.
Yeah,
so what other work?
So I've done that. And once that all finished, because it all went computerised then, and I was pretty stubborn. I was like, I don't want to learn computer stuff. It's cheap.
Old school.
Then I decided to write a book. And then when it came to actually doing the illustrations, I picked up a computer. I draw on a tablet now. So it's like, it's basically drawing with a pen, but you can undo it, like undo your mistake, not have to start again, which is good.
Beautiful.
And I've also just recently designed the new $2 coin for the 2022.
How busy are you and how deadly are you, David Hardy?
It was actually funny, mate. Like when they rang me, I thought it was a scam. They said, this is, Matthew, I won't say his full name, from the Australian Mint. So I said, what do you want?
Can I borrow $2?
Do you want me to buy raffle tickets or what? He goes, no, I really love your drawings. I'd love you to design the coins. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I've got a coin out, which is pretty amazing.
You're just putting it on the kettle, having a cup of tea. I got a coin out. I just wrote a book. Working with Disneyland. Adam Goose, give me a call. You there, David? Oh, shut up. David. No, I lost David. That's David Hardy. Deadly Yarn, and got cut off there, but try and get him back. Illustrated for the book, Welcome to Our Country, which was written by Adam Goods and Ali Lang. And it's a five-book series designed to connect young children, parents and educators with First Nations history and culture, which is fantastic. Like I said, by any means necessary, and whatever books we've got out there or whatever tools we have out there, whether it be book, dance, song, videos, whatever case may be, it's fantastic educating people of the world about our beautiful culture and how deadly David Hardy is, as you mentioned, work with Disneyland, and also got a coin out now, designed the new $2 coin. And how deadly is that, brother? We'll just check if he's back there. David Hardy, you there?
I'm back, mate.
Brother. Writing for Disneyland, writing for Adam Goods, doing $2 coin, and just hang up on me. Well, how?
I don't know what happened.
That cost you $2, cuss.
That's it, mate.
So you got the design for a $2 coin, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, mate, So they did a baby set. So
yes.
I took the current $2 coin and just made it into a baby version.
Too deadly. You do cartoon form when you illustrate, or you do abstract, or what's your design when you draw, brother?
I just start sketching as if I would, on a pencil. Rough out, the concept, character design first, and then, just work rough and then just keep building on it.
Too deadly. So where'd you get to school from? Mum, dad, grandfather, grandmother?
Well, my drawing.
Yeah. Who draws in your family?
My grandma used to do like oil painting, more landscapes and stuff.
Okay.
My father wasn't bad either. Like he drawing just whatever he saw. But I just, everywhere I went, like as a kid, I always had a, drawing pad with me. So I've just been drawing my whole life.
Beautiful. Yeah. And become a career now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was funny. Like when I was, that's all I did at school was just drawing. Mum's going, my mum would say, do some work. It's not going to get you anywhere in life. And then
zero in all the exams, but look fantastic with your drawing as you doodle.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother, congratulations. A deadly story. And look, welcome to our country. A five-book series is out now. So you can go online or bookstores, written by Adam Goods and Ali Lang. And was there much communication working with Adam and Ali, or had that come about?
There was through the publishers. Like I wouldn't you know, deal with them directly. Like I had a lady that was, you know, that I would be in contact with. But anyway,
sure.
Like we had Adam do, because it was based from like his country and his people. So he was doing a lot of research with his family, which was really helpful.
He was focused on that part, and you just designed, well, illustrated the drawings around that conversation, around those conversations, yes?
Yeah, that's right. It just comes down to, like their clothing, the scenery, like, because, you know, he comes from South Australia and the Flinders.
Yes.
And I've never been there. Like, in, you know, I could Google something and it'd be in the wrong area.
So he painted the picture in his words and you put it into reality.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Too deadly. Team effort. Team effort, Adam Goods.
Yeah, that's right.
Ali Lang. Look, thank you for the yarn, David. Congratulations. Keep doing what you're doing. And you're up here in Cairns dropping to see us here at Bummer Bipper, brother.
All right. Thanks very much for having me, mate.
Take care, David. All the best.
Cheers, mate.
See you, bro. Beautiful yarn. David Hardy, his name is, illustrated. Illustration for the book, Welcome to Our Country, proudly written by Adam Goods and Ali Lang. So it's out in bookstores now. Do check it out. And it's a fantastic tool to educate people of the world about our history and our culture. Fantastic. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindja Country, BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Very good morning, Yarraba. Hope you're well over there, you Delhi mob. Here's Barry Sedgwick with Delhi Track, Yarraba. You know it.
Yarraba is a tribal land. We got to fight for our rights. We are Aborigines. We come from near and far. I come from the Koongangi tribe, and I live in Yarraba. My Bimbi taught me how to sing and do corroboree. So my brothers and my we are Aborigines, come from near and far. I come from the Koongangi tribe, and I live in Yarraba.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning
show, BBM 98.7. If you never had sleepless nights, never had crying eyes, if your heart never gone as well, like it will burst, then you need not anticipate that
you will be God's Alice. Oh, the Lord, oh, oh.
Oh, the Lord, oh, oh.
Oh, the Lord, oh, oh.
It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mark Aran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, the choppy number again is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program. That's National Talk Black and National Talk Black. We come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yindinji Country, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Let's look at top stories for the news. A Royal Easter Show stabbing, not random, as police hunt more suspects. Gillon McLachlan to leave AFL CEO role. Victoria to host 2026 Commonwealth Games. $74 billion man, crypto's richest rebel, goes legit. So money, money, money. Russia destroys anti-aircraft missile systems in Ukraine as Volodymyr Zelensky warns of new offences. What other news here? Liberal moderates concerned by Morrison's raising trans women's sport banned during election campaign. Yep, all do things when come election time, Russian sacked immediately for a podium act. My God, what happening? What's happening? Dead weedy sea dragons wash up on Sydney beaches. Home loan interest rates, how to destroy your debt in a decade. Victoria Beckham shines in a Studio 54 inspired slip at Brooklyn Beckham and Nicola Peltz wedding. So they're the headlines for today's news. Have you saying Yanup Strong to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Yanup Strong, your mob. Big shout out to NERS. Thank you very much. National News Radio Service, based down there at Brisbane, BEMA, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association. And a big shout out to the team down there allowing us to go across the airwaves, across this big country, big island, through NERS with the National Talk Black program. Too deadly. Have you seen Yanup Strong? 1-800-422-416.
Candlelight.
Yeah, Deadly, you mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with the Minister for Foreign Affairs with Yidinji, Sovereign Yidinji Government. Murumul online. Murumul, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Trevor. Just a quick one, just to let people know that it's your birthday today. And that's a happy birthday.
Well, loose lips sink ships. And the looser the lip, the faster ship sinks, and you just sunk a fleet. That was quiet,
right,
brother. That was
exactly
quiet.
Right.
That was our private conversation.
Now, I'll also let the people out there in the radio world know that 40 is the new 20.
Thank you. There it is, my brother. And a big thank you to you, your beautiful team there at Sovereign Yidinji Government, and leading the way, brother, in the sovereign sphere, you could say.
No worries. Well, you have a birthday and God bless you. Okay.
Thank you, my brother. Too dearly. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There it is. There it is. Let the cat out of the bag, but it's all good. Every day is my birthday. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here? 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Mother, that's not me in the mirror. No, that's not me at all. For I like to change this brilliant disguise, be the man I want to be. For I have nothing, no nothing to give, so don't take my only win. For I'm just a stranger in this holy war, blessed not with a hand, with a gun. But if you have faith in me, take my hand, walk with me down where the cool waters flow. But then you could see what has become of me, my
Yeah, the title there is Nothing to Fear. There it is, you mob. Nothing to Fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real, and that's Nothing to Fear with Glenn Sculpthorpe here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully One here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, all your deadly mob across the country. Add to the conversation, please do. 1-800-422-416. So the new date, or the date is set for the next election, that is, for the federal government. And 21 May, we're going to catch up with federal Leichhardt MP Warren Inch on the line. Warren, very good morning. How are you?
I'm going very, very well, Cindy.
Good, my brother, good. So throwing your hat in the arena once again, some say you're a bit long in the tooth, but you feel that you've still got more work to do, yeah?
Well, mate, I've got a bit more hair than you.
Thank you. We had to go there, didn't we?
what I have got, Trev, which I think is very, very important as we're coming out of COVID, and, you know, I mean, this last 3 years is probably the most challenging that this country's ever faced.
Exactly.
We started off with a plague. You may recall there was a massive mouse plague. It was like nothing we'd ever seen before.
Exactly.
We had drought. We then had floods.
Floods.
We had fires.
Mm-hmm.
We had floods. We had a world pandemic that's still raging, but we're getting it under control.
We've got a war going on overseas.
We've got a horrible war that's having an impact, and a lot of this is happening at the same time. Now, if you add to that the impacts that you have in relation, you know, with climate and the issue challenges that we're having there, I just don't think, because I don't think it was time for me. I've been in this job for a long time.
Sure.
But I think what is needed more than ever now, before we start looking at a change of guard, if you like, and I'm more than happy, you know, I agree absolutely, we should be from time to time, we need those changes.
Sure.
But what we need at the moment, Trevor, is experience. And this is something that I have, and it's what convinced many within the community, said this is just not the time for you to move on, to go. This is the time where we need you to draw on all of your experience in the work that you've done over all of these years, and get us out of this.
So, yeah, talk to people. I mean, did you have in your mind that you think it's time to hang up the boots, but talking to people, they've urged you to continue on, is why you're throwing your hat in the arena again?
Trevor, I'd already made it at the last election. I said that was it. That was my lifetime. However, I didn't anticipate all of these things happening. You know, who would have expected a global pandemic, which is, you know, it's going on for its third year. Who would have expected that, you know, something like Russia would invade, you know, not only Ukraine, but it just creates a whole range of instability. And, of course, all of the other challenges that we've faced. And I just think that, you know, I can remember when I first got into this job, I had no idea what was expected of me, and it took me a couple of years just to understand roughly what I needed to do.
Yes.
And it's taken me many, many years to be able to get the experience to be able to achieve the things that I have.
Yeah.
And I've got that level of credibility and experience now, not only with...
And relationships. Own, we're talking about people, aren't we, you know?
I have to say to you, I have as many friends on the other side of the political chamber.
Sure.
I mean, Anthony Albanese and I came in at the same time. At the end of next election, there will only be me and Anthony and one other Russell Broadbent who came in 1996.
Yeah.
So you know, but I've got a lot of very dear friends over there. You know, Paddy Dodson is a very, very close friend of mine and somebody that I admire immensely. And, you know, Mulindiri McCarthy is another one that I have a hell of a lot of. Linda Burney is somebody else that, you know, these are people, you know, I've got friends on my side, but equally I don't sort of look across the chamber and see them all as enemies. I look over there and see them as friends. And, you know, the work that we've done with Paddy Dodson and Warren Snowden in the Dugan Gorge fiasco.
Well, exactly, yep. You were amongst that and a very fantastic and very important call there, so thank you, yep.
Yeah, and of course, looking at strengthening the PBCs and that as they're getting the determinations, I have the experience, I know the people, and so from my point, this is on top of sort of saying, well, rightio, we're delivering here, we're doing this, we're doing... It's one thing to do that, which is fantastic, because I know where to go to make it happen. But it's being working, you know, like as we're going, as the PBCs now are starting to take control, people are taking control of their country. We need to make sure they got the resources and they got the skills within their organisation.
Yeah, exactly.
To make it happen. Otherwise, you're going to see a whole lot
of... Well, we're talking about culture and about business at the table, at the one table.
Absolutely. And we've got to make sure that those that are running these PBCs have the capacity to be able to run them as company directors, to make the right decisions, to make sure that the benefactors get the maximum from it and that they're not exploited. And this is one of the things that we learned with the Dugan inquiry. You know, the mine companies had all of the advantages. We need to make sure that if traditional owners are sitting at the table, they've got to have equal advantage.
You feel as though PBCs are a good tool for the so-called closing the gap?
It will be, but there's a lot of work
to be done. The gap is widening in all facets.
Yeah, but there's a lot of work to be done also into build capacity within the PBCs, to make sure that they can have that, you know, informed consent on any, and that they come to the table as an equal. They are an equal. They are the landholders.
Yes.
And they're in. So that's the sort of stuff that made me. You know, I'm trying to. I would like to see through. I started the sealing of the Peninsula Development Road. I want to see the Peninsula Development Road sealed.
Yes.
I started that major infrastructure program back in, I think, in 1998 up in the Torres Strait. Now, that's been rolling out, you know, water, power, sewerage, etc.
Torres Strait, let's quickly talk about how we're looking for this, the sea walls and protection of the islands.
The walls are actually doing quite well. Saibai's finished. Boigu's now completed. They're starting on the other ones that we're working on is your central islands around Purama, I think Ayama and Warraba. That work has started. The money is there for it.
Yep.
And the work has already started. There was a little bit of a disagreement between well, my pathways was the one up and the PK GBK. Well, GBK now has taken control of that. I think they're working with the with TSRIC.
Yep. And that creates work for the First Nation mob up there, Torres Strait Islanders.
Well, not only does it create work, it also builds skills. Because yes. whenever if there is a breach or if there is damage or if there's another area that needs to be worked on, rather than have to wait for 12 months for somebody to come up from the south, you're going to have the skills and you're going to have the equipment there to be able to repair it immediately.
Yeah.
And I've seen this benefit when I got the concept from the Cocos Islands in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the, you know, they're very, very isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they do all of that work themselves. And there's absolutely no reason why we can't do it ourselves in the Torres Strait. And so, you know, they're doing some fabulous work there now. And as I say, Boigu has completed. They were the two mud islands, if you like. They were the big ones. They're now working on these other projects, which is a different concept because it's shifting sands
that's
causing the problems and to stabilise that. But the other thing that I'm very keen to do up there, we need to get the next, I think it's MIF 6, the next round of infrastructure, because this time we've got to look at a lot of the stuff that we put in back in the 1990s now is at end of life.
Mm.
And so we need to upgrade all of that. There's a lot of work we need to do now in relation to wharves that need to be upgraded and replaced.
Yep.
We're getting close at last to getting a wharf or floating pontoon on Prince of Wales. We've secured the money for it.
Cool.
We are now getting close to having that delivered. So the other big thing is getting a transfer station established in on Horn Island to bring all of the way, all your plastic waste and your vehicles and your white goods.
Pollution, yes.
Bring them to a central point so that they can be cleaned and packaged and then back freighted on C-Swift. We've done all the work on it now. We've got the business case completed. We're now in the process of putting together a project. This will also include all of the Cape communities where the councils can bring all of this waste product together, pack it up, containerise it, and then we can send it back to a central point, probably at Cairns, where that can then be recycled and rebuilt into something else. So these things are well and truly advanced, but it's work that, you know, that I'm very, very keen, from my perspective, to get all this work completed.
So top of the resume is experience, and you got that, and that's what you're running with, Warren, to throw the hat in the arena again?
Can I say, I've got the microgrid with the solar and hydrogen north of the Daintree River.
Yes.
But I've got this idea here. I've been working with Volt, the company that's doing it for me, and I've had them working with Woodjal Woodjal, and we're looking at actually putting together capturing the power of the Bloomfield Falls into a hydro project that will supply hydro power to all of the Bloomfield Valley. But in doing so, what I'm wanting to do, I've spoken to them about looking at the possibility of then connecting that to the hydrogen solar grid at Cape Tribulation. And there's no reason why then the Woodjal community can't become the providers of that power.
Yes.
So they then, that becomes their business. They can also feed power back into the main grid, but they can actually own that grid. It's very, very exciting stuff. And I'd really like the Daintree one. We're hoping to switch the lights on in April 2024. And at that point, we should be connected in with the Woodjal community and have that project where ultimately I'd like that to be run by the Woodjal community as an enterprise for the community.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, my friend. Good to be yarning with you, and good luck for the election, but we'll yarn before that.
You better believe it, my friend. You better believe it.
Warren Inch, you take care. All the best, my friend.
And you too. All the best.
Bye-bye. That's Warren Inchair, Federal Leichhardt MP, Member of Parliament. And, yeah, he's thrown the hat in the arena again. He's running with experience, been at the game for a while now, and he feels that experience will help in the climate, the world that we live in at the moment, COVID-19, wars, floods, what have you. But there are other candidates, and we'll be catching up with them before 21 May. Don't worry about that. And up here for that seat, Leichhardt. Annie Pat O'Shane, she's running, and also Lyda. Pat O'Shane is independent, I believe, yes. And then you got Lyda, and she's running as the Labor candidate. So there's a few conversations need to be had, but have you saying Jan Armstrong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, that's Wuju Yila here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Jan Armstrong, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, Jan, is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have your say in Jan Armstrong, your mob. All right, we're going to catch up with Jan now with Melissa Noonan, founder and CEO of Limbs for Life, and herself an amputee. A new report from Limbs for Life finds Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are now experiencing amputation at twice the rate of non-Indigenous people. On the line, Melissa, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very well.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Melissa?
I'm actually in Melbourne.
In Melbourne. All right, fantastic. I'm in far North Queensland, sunny North Queensland.
Oh, you're in a beautiful part
Come
of the
Come and
world,
join us.
Trevor.
Hang out with Nemo. It's all good up here.
I'd love to.
Let's talk about the hatchery regarding founder and CEO of Limbs for Life and finding Aboriginal and Torres Strait people now experience amputation at twice the rate of non-Indigenous people. Another gap we need to close.
Absolutely. It's... you know, when we got that data back from this report, you know, that's just devastating to me. I think very much a gap that needs to be closed and attention needs to be put in this area, you know, really, really quickly, because I think it's really shameful that, you know, the Aboriginal community, Indigenous community experience amputation at twice the rate of others. And in fact, a huge, nearly 9% of Australia's total amputees are Indigenous.
Now, amputation, we're talking about, if not disease or illness, accidents, car accidents, whatever the case may be. So there's so many different ways things can happen like this. But at the same time, it's not what happens to you in life, is how you respond to it. But you need that support.
Agreed.
You need that support. And Limbs for Life is a supporting arm, pardon the pun.
No, not at all. Yes, we are. And as you say, it doesn't matter the cause of limb loss. You know, it just, I know that it impacts people's lives so, you know, so much. But, you know,
Well, it's all the mental strain as well, don't we? Emotional?
Well, that's just it. It's the mental health following amputation. People suffer in silence, you know.
Yes.
The anxiety, the depression, you know, all of that kind of thing, it's really impactful on someone's life.
And what sort of work does Limbs for Life do? Paint that picture.
Yeah, we do a lot of things, Trevor. So primarily, I guess, the one thing we do is provide support to people. So regardless of the cause of amputation, we have a team of about 200 amputees who are all peer support volunteers. And we do have some Indigenous peer support volunteers as well.
Good.
And we want to expand that. Can I just say, if anyone's listening, that, you know, it's an area that we've always wanted to expand on, so it's very much our goal to make sure that that happens.
And you don't have to be an amputee to join the team, do you?
Yeah. We're not government funded, so we don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But having said that, we're really hoping that this report will help us so that we can, you know, provide something that's culturally safe for your community and the members of your community, and information that's appropriate and useful.
You find in the government supports amputees in regard to housing, for example, if not runways or driveways or bath facilities. Are they helping in that case in that form?
Look, they do in relation to prosthetics. So everyone in Australia can receive a prosthesis if they're healthy enough to get one, regardless of their age.
Mm.
Part of the problem that we have is that if people aren't eligible for the NDIS, so the National Disability Insurance Scheme, if they have an amputation after the age of 65, then access to all those supports are much less than if you're under 65 or 64 years old. So, you know, there's things that the government do and do well, but then there's other really big gaps here and there, and they're the things that we want to change, Trevor.
Fantastic. Melissa, if you don't mind sharing, in regards to your amputee, how that come about, and then your vision, or to be a founder and the CEO of Limbs for Life. Tell us the story.
Yeah, so I went to board a train one night, and in sort of the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne, and I went to step on the train, and the doors closed, and the gaps in some of the stations in suburban Melbourne are quite wide, so I fell between the train and the platform. I didn't expect to survive that accident and was in a coma for quite some time, spent a total of, 3.5 months in hospital and another 6 months in rehab, which, you know, is really hard when you're away from your family. But, having that happen, I didn't expect to survive. And, you know, in actual fact, I did. And I've always been community-minded. So I went back to my regular job, but, you know, for the most part, I just wanted to give something back to the community. So that people didn't have to struggle the same way I did, and so that they had an organisation that could support them.
There never has been an organisation as such then, has there?
There's been some state-based organisations, but not ones with national structure that have, you know, a formalised peer approach,
Good. And that's where, being a founder and now the CEO of Limbs for Life is here, front and centre. Yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, we just want to help people make that journey easier for people. You know, so that to help them adapt to what's happened.
Lovely.
And then be able to get on with their lives. Yeah,
beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing. So how do people get in touch with Limbs for Life?
Thanks so much, Trevor. So they can contact us on 1300 782 231. Or they can visit us at limbs, as in arms and legs, the number 4, life.org.au. Happy to help anyone, family members, anything.
Beautiful. Melissa, thank you very much for the yarn. Keep in touch. Keep smiling. We'll yarn soon. All the best to you.
I love that. Thanks, Trevor.
Bye, Melissa.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn there. Melissa Noonan, her name is, founder and CEO, Limbs for Life. Herself an amputee, and talking about a new report from Limbs for Life finds Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people now experiencing amputation at twice the rate of non-Indigenous people. Like I said, another gap to close there. So you can reach out to your mob, black or white, mob, especially to reach out for to Melissa, founder and CEO of Limbs for Life, to Delhi. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here. Coming to a close here very soon, but we've got Selwyn on the line. My brother, very good morning. How are you, Selwyn?
I'm all right, brother. Yeah, brother. The buzzword, experience, Warren Edge. The new kid on the block.
New kid on the block.
You bought him out of retirement, brother.
That's why I got him fired up. Yeah, got his kimbies on.
Experience,
on.
Brother. There's another thing. Yeah. It's doing the same thing and expecting a different
result.
Is the definition of insanity. And I think we need... good to see Pat get that seat up like that, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Good to hear your voice. That's Selwyn there having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Well, it's come to a time where Murray got a sign off your mob. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat here tomorrow with our daily number, 1-800-422-416. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic regarding COVID-19. Learn how to live with it. Have a talk to your First Nation health organisations in regarding that space. Too deadly, mob.